Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
So 2021 is just full of surprises. I mean, we are in December and I'm still going, I never saw it coming. Don't know if I've said it before, but I am not too proud to say it again. Farmer Brock Lesnar in his overall dungarees may very well be the best version of Brock Lesnar ever. You go through those history books, we had a lot of versions. That sounded like virgins. I said versions. Versions. Don't come at me in the comments. Hello, my name is Simon Miller. Welcome to yet another episode of Ups and Downs. And today we shall focus on the Friday night spectacle known as Smackerdown, when we give the good bits an up and we give the bad bits a down. Also, please remember that as you are on What Culture Wrestling, go and watch Who Wants to Be a Kayfabe Millionaire with me and Phil, not me, with flipping marks. I think it's very entertaining. Paul Heyman was waiting for Roman Reigns outside the arena when SmackDown started because Roman hadn't turned up to work yet, so he's not a very good employee. And Pat McAfee also told us, well, I have it on good authority, that Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns haven't spoken all week. And I'm like, you've got sources, and that's what you went to find out? I think you could come up with a better use of your time. I then sat there waiting for the opening show promo because, of course, it is WWE, but then flub me sideways, we had a tag team match. And not only did we have a tag team match, it was Charlotte Flair teaming up with Shotzi, and where the hell has she been, taking on Sasha Banks and Toni Storm. I was very, very pleased up. And not only did this get a load of time, but there was so much going on here. For one, we know where all the hate lies when it comes to these individual feuds. And also on commentary, Michael Cole told us, well, I'll tell you why Charlotte got disqualified last week, because Toni Storm frustrated her so much, she wasn't able to handle it anymore. I was like, yeah, sure, Michael. That's like telling someone, sorry I ate your donut, but it willed itself into my mouth. We also kicked off with Toni versus Shotzi, so I was doing backflips. I was like, oh my gosh, it feels so fresh, and my word, and my desperate professionals right now. But of course, they soon tagged out, and then you got Sasha Banks versus Charlotte Flair. And no matter what you think about them individually, they are terrific wrestlers. They have a history of great feuds, and this rocked. Sasha Banks got held into Barry Barricade before long, and there's a very good chance we're going to have to do a barricade counter in 2022 when she did eventually get the lukewarm tag to Toni Storm. And for like 1 minute, she was running wild. But then she got cut off and absolutely murked. What's more important than that, though, is that after this beating, she got the proper hot tag to Sasha Banks. But then Toni got back in there and she hit this flying crossbody on Charlotte Flair that got such a good near two, the fans lost their minds. And I won't lie, so did I. I thought it was the finish. And now I'm going to put my nerd glasses on because that should have been the finish. Because seconds later, Charlotte Flair got back to her feet and she went to the top rope. She went to do her moonsault. Toni Storm got her knees up. And then she hit the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment. And to be fair, she did get the win. And that is great, a victory, wahoo, wahey. But WWE always presents the most devastating move in all sports entertainment as somewhat of a fluke. And also, if you've been watching as long as we have, we just know next week when they have their title match, Toni Storm is probably going to be killed. That is being overly negative though, because this was a very fun tag match, but eventually the likes of Toni Storm and Shotzi do have to be beating the likes of Charlotte Flair and Sasha Banks, because it would give them some edge. I don't mean Adam Copeland. I don't mean Edge's gonna... Oh, you know what I'm talking about. Xavier Woods was then backstage, sat on a throne with Kofi Kingston, as the rest of the SmackDown locker room went, oh, Xavier Woods, we love you so much. And this was a little bit like I'd smashed a bunch of drugs before watching SmackDown, but I just loved the New Day. And then the Usos arrived and they went, man, we should have a match later on, even though they're going to have a match at the Day One pay-per-view. So I don't get it, but it does happen later. Natalia was also interviewed after this, and she was so mad that Xia Li had beaten her up 7 days ago. So I thought, well, I'm sure we'll see Xia Li later. And we never heard from either of these two again. Right, problem time with Simon, because one of the problems with the Usos and the New Day fighting later on is that it just underlines that right now WWE doesn't have enough tag teams. So given that the next match was the Viking Raiders taking on Jinder Mahal and Shanky, I would feel like a right goober if I went, oh man, I didn't know you, man. Because again, we need to start establishing more tag teams. And to be fair, it was perfectly fine for what it was. Like, it was a little bit sluggish in the middle, but if you want to take Jinder and you want to take Shanky and you want to try and turn them into a proper team, then that's what you should do. And also, let's face it, at least Shanky made it to SmackDown. As we know, Veer cannot make his way to Raw. Also, on the other side, you have Eric and Ivar, who are a terrific tag team, and they looked absolutely great here, and they did get the win, and there was a lot of winking and a lot of nodding that maybe after the Day One pay-per-view, they shall be put into the tag team title scene, which is exactly what we should be doing. So yes, they got the victory after Ivar hit this big slash onto Shanky, so I am gonna give it an up. Now, is it a very weak up? It is, but that's better than a down. I mean, that is the entire concept of the show. Paul Heyman was then still backstage waiting for Roman Reigns, and we were told he'd been waiting there all day. I was like, Paul, I watch Pot Never Balls or whatever the hell it is, go and do something else. When somebody did pull up in a car, Paul Heyman was like, oh, I'm so excited. And it was Brock Lesnar, and he was like, oh, hey, buddy, how's it going? He is the best. My boys, Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss were then out, and I want to make it very clear that I enjoy these two immensely. I think they're great. But this wasn't it. Down. The problem is now, the beef between these two and Drew McIntyre is that they stole a desk or a table with a sword in it. So I'm sat here going, right, I have to try and care about this. Let me just process some things. Blah, 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 blah. Nah, I don't care. And look, they are an absolute riot, and I enjoy how much they tie into the silliness, especially when Madcap Moss ignored a certain chant in Chicago and was all like, they're saying, we want love, we want love, which was absolutely ridiculous. And then when they tried to pull the sword out of the desk table thing, they weren't able to do it. So I suppose we're riffing on like Thor's hammer or the sword in the stone. I mean, why the hell not? Drew McIntyre then arrived and insinuated this was the equivalent of not being able to get an erection. Now, he didn't say that directly, but let's not pretend otherwise. And then he easily took the sword out of the wood. And I swear, he was acting like he was just going to chop these two to pieces. And can you imagine? Can you imagine you turned on SmackDown and there's just a human being in like 1,000 bits? You'd be like, yeah, I don't want to watch this no more. But you can see the issue here. Like last week, they took the sword. And now this week, Drew McIntyre has the sword back. So there's no story, there's no much of anything. And if I'd have to guess, Jeff Hardy obviously was meant to be more involved with this, but he got fired from the company. So now we're just trying to fix it as best as we possibly can. Sami Zayn was then on SmackDown, and in many ways, he has to be considered one of the MVPs. He is now magically out of his neck brace and wheelchair, so Sonya Deville and Adam Pearce were like, well, what happened, Sami? And he said, oh, well, my lawyer said we didn't need to bother anymore. They then looked at him and he went, did I say lawyer? I meant doctor. He is the best. Sadly, it does look like we're taking him out of the main title picture for now, because he was like, man, a year ago, I never got my Intercontinental title rematch. Can you sort this out? So Sonya and Adam thought about it and they went, yes, yes, we can. And on next week's episode of SmackDown, there will be a 12-man gauntlet and the winner shall be the number one contender. And given that our current IC champion is Shinsuke Nakamura, and Shinsuke Nakamura and Sami Zayn had that amazing fight in NXT years ago, this better be what happens, WWE. Otherwise, I'm gonna write a nasty tweet. Ridge Holland was then also on SmackDown, and thank goodness for that, because I had the fear. He was taking on Cesaro, and the problems were it only went 3 minutes, and as he was taking on the Swiss Superman, of course Cesaro lost, because he always loses. You always had Sheamus on the outside going, oh, distraction, fella, distraction. It just felt very WWE. That's exactly what happened though when Cesaro was on the outside. Sheamus was like, oh, I don't like you anymore. So when he got back in the ring, Ridge Holland hit a power slam and he got the 1-2-3. And I think the main takeaway is at least the new guy didn't lose. you can go back to a lot of call-ups and they all lose. So I'm going to give it an up. But once more, it's a very weak up. What we do know for sure is that the distraction board has to come into play, and it rolls up to 125. So if you would like to share this with anyone who says that WWE don't do that many distractions, well, you should, because the evidence is right there. For some reason, Drew McIntyre was then shown looking for Madcap Moss and Baron Corbin, even though he'd already wrecked them. So maybe he actually did want to stab him with his giant sword, which is not a euphemism. And later on, too, you did see Corbin and Moss, like, hiding in a closet with the lights off. This is why I like them. They do entertain me. SmackDown then became difficult to review again because Naomi was out here and she was like, oh man, it's Christmas and all I want for Christmas is a match with Sonya Deville. And I looked in the rules, I was like, Naomi, Santa Claus can't bring you that. It doesn't really make any sense. Obviously, Deville eventually came out and she was like, nah, bruh, I ain't gonna give you that as a present. But what I am gonna do is put you in a match with Shayna Baszler. And like she had just teleported in from the Starship Enterprise, Shayna was there and she started to beat Naomi up. Sonya then must have seen the previous bout because she was just going distraction and using all of her MP. But of course, what happened is Naomi used the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment and she got the win. And honestly, this must have gone around about 32 seconds. So I do appreciate the fact that this storyline is going quite long, but this just suffered from where it was placed because we'd already seen distractions and we'd already seen surprise roll-ups. So when you get it again, it's just like, man, we can do anything in wrestling. The choice is infinite, but you decide to always fall back into one of these two categories. So that's why it does have to get it down. And when we get to the day one pay-per-view, we better get Sonya versus Naomi. And I swear to everything, Naomi better win. We then did get it confirmed that it's going to be Madcap Moss versus Drew McIntyre at the day one pay-per-view. And then, yes, it was the New Day versus the Usos. And you really do just have to give it up. Now, admittedly, I do feel like I've seen this 67,890 times, and I know I sound so boring, but it's true. They're too talented, and they're too good at tag team wrestling. Like, did I sit there and go, well, I'm not enjoying this? No, I did not. They always reel me in. It did suffer a little bit, because you know in 2 weeks we're going to see it again, although then it will be for the tag team championships. So here, to spice it up a bit, we did have a bit of a story, which was the referee who kept missing tags. This suffered at first for Kofi Kingston because the ref was like, aha, you're not allowed to get in there. And Jey Uso was like, ha, 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 I've done it. This was my plan. But later on, Jey Uso did the blind tag. He was going to go for his splash. The official said, no, you get off those ropes. Xavier pushed him, which allowed Kofi Kingston to trouble in Paradise Jimmy right in the face. And he got the victory. And we learned two things from this. Kofi Kingston is very good at facial expressions because when he was doing the pin, he was basically going, and it was really funny. And also at the pay-per-view, the New Day will now lose because WWE loves 50-50 booking. It was at this juncture that Roman Reigns finally decided to arrive at SmackDown, that tardy Mother Hubbard, and Paul Heyman was so excited and he went to open the door, but Roman got out the other side. That made me juggle. Paul was also trying to praise our tribal chief, like, oh, Roman, we love you. But he basically ignored him and headed straight to the ring. This all meant our main event segment was going to feature around the Universal Champion and his gaslighting goons. But seriously, given how pumped the crowd was for this and the performances by all involved, a massive round of applause, this rocked up. And it was all fun and games at first, as Roman Reigns was like, man, I love my cousins, but when they lose, I get so mad. However, they are blood. But I tell you who's not. It's you, Paul Heyman, and you would piss me off. Roman then went through all the beats like, did you know about SummerSlam? Did you know about Madison Square Garden? Did you know about the suspension? And the entire time, Paul Heyman's facial expressions were just brilliant. I mean, I actually thought he was gonna die. The absolute highlight is when Reigns turned to his wise man and said, tell me, Paul, why are you protecting Brock Lesnar from me? Without skipping a beat, Heyman got the microphone and said, I'm protecting you from Brock Lesnar. And the reaction to this, it was marvelous. Reigns then hugged him, but he just knew deep down, you know, tum-tum, this was the equivalent of a death cuddle, because when he did separate himself from Paul Heyman, he ran at him, he hit the Superman punch, and this was on. He also teased that he was going to give a concerto to Paul Heyman. I was like, Roman Reigns, once again, this is way too much. But who came out to make the save? None other than farm boy Brock Lesnar. He got this incredible reaction and he absolutely destroyed the Usos. I mean, it was like he was taking candy for a baby. But honestly, he sold all of this like Jimmy and Jay had tried to give him a kiss. And even when he got in the ring and Roman started battering with a chair, he was like, man, that ain't nothing for me. And he put the Universal Champion on his shoulders and he wrecked him with an F5. I mean, honestly, this was like Brock Lesnar losing at Monopoly, given the physical damage it did to him. And this is how SmackDown went off the air. But again, it was the crowd that made this. They treated Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar like they were super duper duper stars. And also, don't go around thinking, oh my gosh, I can't believe the Roman Reigns, Paul Heyman relationship is over. Remember when we thought the same with The Rock and Vince McMahon back in the late 90s? I smell shenanigans here. Damn right, WWE, this was the correct button to push. So I believe there is more twists in this tale, and this was such a good end to SmackDown. Like, it felt like a really big storyline, which is a good time to peak as the pay-per-view is just around the corner. So overall, it is gonna get an up. And also, fair play, Chicago crowd, you made it.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.